Welcome to Analyst Talk with Jason Alder. It's like coffee with an analyst, but there's no actual coffee. Each episode, we interviewed an expert in the field of law enforcement analysis to share their career-defining stories and to get their insights on the world. Please join us on recognizing and learning from these brilliant minds as we define the law enforcement analysis profession one episode at a time.
Thank you for joining me. I hope many aspects of your life are progressing. My name is Jason Alder, and today we have many guests, as this is our wrap-up show for 2021. And who else would be with me? Mindy Yoon. Mindy, how are we doing?
Great. I'm so excited. Another year completed.
Oh, geez. Yes, exactly. I'm proud of the fact that we have published every Monday since we started in June of 2020.
Yes. Haven't taken any breaks, worked through all the holidays. And I'm happy to do so. I think all our listeners are happy as well.
Yeah, it's really become our niche, and it's a lot of fun learning and talking with all these folks. There's been a couple of themes this year that have stood out to me that I want to go over. For this particular episode, for our guests, this is different from our normal episode in that we're not going to have a new guest on here, but we wanted to review this year, review our guests. So we're going to talk about Mindy and I's favorite moments throughout the year, as well as we're going to do a Where Are They Now segment, in which we've got updates from past guests on what has happened to them, both good and bad, since they were on the show. And then we'll finish this episode with what's next in 2022. In terms of the advice for the show that we get from the guests is pretty much the same themes that we get: network, 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 and keep learning. I thought, though, there was a couple additional themes that came out of this year's episodes that I didn't see coming. We had several guests talking about self-care and mental health for the analyst, thinking like Trina Cook, Shauna Gibson, and even recently Dawn Reby. And I find it fascinating that the role of the analyst, especially in departments where they're civilian, getting involved in counseling, just making sure that the analyst's mental health stays intact. Analysts do read a lot of heavy stuff. They are exposed to some pretty deep, dark issues.
I really appreciate it, too, because at the end of the day, of course, we're all humans and we have emotions. And like you said, reading these things are tough, and there's a lot of resources for officers, dispatchers, as there should be. But sometimes people forget, like, there are other positions in the police department, not just officers. So I'm glad that we've reached a point that people are more aware of the mental toll it takes to work these cases. And of course, I'm sure the pandemic has to do with it a bit of people's mental well-being working through a pandemic.
Yeah, I'm glad we just haven't all gone crazy. That's for sure.
Speak for yourself. Yeah. Just kidding.
So there's three guests too that I thought were really inspirational in their interviews. Stephen Belts, when he talked about his work with the Special Olympics as his personal interest, I found that to be inspirational. I found that what he just does annually with those athletes was particularly special. Jamie Rausch, dedication to her health and her goals of powerlifting and going from someone that, in her words, wasn't very healthy to somebody that's very health-minded now. Just a great speaker and a great inspiration she is. And the third one was Brian Novotny. He talked about getting fired because he wouldn't go with the wrong thing to do, which was what his supervisors wanted him to do. He got fired, he got rehired, went back to the same office, and is now a manager in that same office. I mean, there's just no better example that we had this year of integrity than Brian's story.
Those are a good one, especially with Brian's. It's just something that we don't always talk about. Obviously, it was not taught in school for sure, how to hire these real world things. I mean, we were taught how to use Excel, different theories of law enforcement and how to approach things. But yeah, those are something I didn't learn in school, and I was happy to hear it on the podcast. Something I always tell people, especially regarding the mentoring program, it's like whenever listening to these episodes, I'm always like, oh, I feel like I have like 80 plus mentors teaching me all these different things.
Yeah. I mean, I still can't believe you went back to work. I would have never done that.
Yeah.
If you fired me, I am not stepping back in that office at all, even though he was found to be wrongfully fired. I get that. But man, that is something that I would not have done. I would not have been comfortable in that situation going back into that office. But kudos to him. You know, in the beginning of the year, we had Susan Whitford on, and then a couple of weeks later, we had Eric Driftmeyer on, and both of them were IACA executive board members during the time of what I've called the Civil War with the IACA. From what we had talked about in 2020 regarding that, those two episodes, I thought, was a nice ending to that particular story, at least as far as I think anybody's willing to go. Don Clausius, I guess Don, I forgot Don for a second there. Don Clausius did talk a little bit about it too. And she said, yeah, if you corner somebody in the bar at one of the conferences, you probably can get a lot more out of them. But I think in terms of what people are willing to talk on air about, I think we've covered that story as well as we're going to right now.
I think with our podcast and what, like you said, people are willing to put out in recording on air, at least it kind of opens the door to do so. I don't know if other people get this way, but I've mentioned this in the past before when I'm listening to these episodes, like I don't know most of our guests. I'm not that new into the profession or the association, but I am on the newer end as well. So a lot of these guests on the show, I don't know personally, but after listening to their episodes and especially knowing like their personal interests and their investigations and stuff, it kind of opens the door to like, hey, let's start a conversation. Like, I feel like the ice is kind of already broken to kind of go in. I mean, I don't know if I would corner Don at the bar at like the next conference or something, like, hey, give me the scoop, you know what I mean? I don't know if I'll break the ice that way with her, but hopefully things that people have listened to on our show, hopefully it opens up dialogue whenever people do see them, whether it be over LinkedIn, their email at the conference, or maybe if they're local, you can see them at one of your local association meetings and start a conversation there. So I feel like that's one of our hopes, to just start dialogue with people.
Yeah. And I usually tell people coming on to the show, I'm not Inside Edition. I'm not very pushy. I do like to talk about controversy and gossip. So if they are willing to share it, I'm willing to listen. But I don't necessarily go out pushing back on them too hard for this podcast. So I don't want to give the impression that those folks were forced to come on and I forced them to talk. I do encourage people to be comfortable with what they're going to talk about, because this is their showcase to the profession. And so I want them to have fun and be proud of the episode that they put out.
Yeah. And here I thought we were the TMZ of the, yeah, no, I'm just kidding.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Far from it. Yeah. We could be that at the conference, right? And we could do that late at night, people coming out of the bar. Like, we just record them and talking about stuff. Yeah. That could be our TMZ moment there at the conferences. And then just another thing that I'm particularly proud of for this year was a special series that we did, IALEA, the International Association of Law Enforcement Intelligence Analysts, turned 40 this past year. And we did a series celebrating that anniversary. It was great to talk about it. It was really our first time doing panel interviews. And I wasn't sure exactly how these particular episodes would turn out, because normally it's one-on-one, and I wasn't sure how we were going to schedule it, or how we didn't do prep calls like we normally do with folks. So I really wasn't sure how these episodes were going to turn out, and they turned out fantastic. I'm really proud of them. I learned a lot, even though I've been part of Hialeah in one way or the other for years and years and years. You know, we talked about the controversy with IACA. They had their own controversy too, which I thought was fascinating. We called it the burning of the ballots because basically had someone destroy election ballots and then had to do the election all over again. When you have groups of people working together, it all isn't jelly beans, right? It definitely can get a little gnarly from time to time. But I thought the series did a good job of going over the high points and that one low point. And just how the association has grown in its 40 years and the people that made it so. So I really encourage the audience, if they haven't listened to this special series that we did, it's 5 episodes. I really encourage you to take a listen and learn about the history of Hialeah. Are you talking?
I am not.
Okay.
Probably cut this part out because I'm trying to think of like, or leave it in. We can do these behind the scenes, like, because I was like, okay, how do we segue into the next part? Because I know with our notes, and it says, like, I'm the writer, we do all this stuff, but I like to remind people that our show is unscripted. We have a rough idea outline of where we want to go, what we want to do, but it's all unscripted. Jason just hits record and like having coffee with someone, or I guess in certain cases, if you corner them at the bar, like these are the stories that you would get. So I'm always like, okay, how do we segue into the next part?
Exactly. So I guess there's no other way to say, hey, I want to move on now. And that's usually what I say. So we could talk about that for an hour, but we're going to move on now. So I do want to get a couple of your moments that you thought about as you were thinking about this year in review.
Yeah, hopefully it's not too recency biased, but these are the moments that kind of stood out to me. And it's not so much of what they said per se, but who they are. So one thing that, bringing up mentoring again, it's almost like I like the committee and I like the program or something, right? Always just gotta plug it in, unprompted. One thing I always enjoy learning about is people's education, where they come from. So like you always ask every episode, so how did you find out about the law enforcement analysis profession? And it's always interesting learning about how people discover it and what their degrees are in, because you think law enforcement, you think, oh, everyone has a criminal justice degree. Like I have a criminal justice degree. Both of my degrees are in criminal justice, in fact. So I'm very pigeonholed. I don't want to say pigeonholed, but very passionate about, that's probably better, passionate, not pigeonholed, into law enforcement analysis. Like I love it. So I think the one that stood out to me the most was Adrienne Galbert's when she said that she was a zoology major. And I was like, how do you go from zoology to criminal? And I think we had a couple who were archaeology majors. And
yes.
At first I was like, that surprised me too. Like criminal justice obviously makes sense. Psychology makes sense. Law degree, that like all those make sense. But the other ones, I'm like, how did you go from that to this? So I was like, it's just fascinating to me how people make the connection. And yeah, whenever I get a chance to talk with students and they're self-conscious about their degree, and I'm like, no, please listen to this episode and see how someone like Adrienne went from a zoology major to where she is now. So it's just fascinating learning how people make the connection and how they bridge that. So
yeah, and I think it is interesting because as much as I think you plot out a course in your life once you leave high school and you go to college and you plan your life forward, and you're always planning specific moments or specific ideals of where you want to go. And yet almost every guest that we've had said they fell into the position. Maybe that's what I need to make for 2022 a goal, is to actually find somebody that said, hey, I knew about crime analysis, intelligence analysis in high school. I went to school for it, and then I became that. That's probably what we need to find in 2022. It is fascinating the different backgrounds, what people did before they were analysts, and how they discovered the law enforcement analysis profession.
I feel like maybe the younger generation now, they're more aware of what crime analysis is. So I'm wondering if we find a newer analyst, maybe that's where we'll find it. Or maybe we'll find it, like, if we can just pinpoint a year of like when it actually became mainstream and when people actually found out about it.
I don't know. I'm shaking my head right now because Millennial Mindy is talking about the younger generation. Oh my goodness.
There are analysts who are younger than me.
I know, and you represent them well. All right. Do you have any other moments?
So the other moment, I guess I'll do, it's not like a, oh, I'll do the bad one first or the good one first. It's not that. But Glenn Mills episode scared me. I don't know if that, no, I don't know if that is the right, Glenn, if you're listening, I'm not trying to say this in a bad light, but just him bringing up artificial intelligence and deep fakes and what it can mean for law enforcement, like, especially with our podcast and our voices are out there. Someone could take our voices, our face, and just distort it and make us out to be terrible people or whatever it is, you know? And that scares me of like the possibility of the future and just trying to think of different court cases and evidence and just how all of that is going to shape up. I feel like scared is a bit too extreme, but you know, something that sometimes isn't in the forefront of our minds of like, yeah, that is true. And we think about like the rise in social media, TikTok, like people, like, sorry, the younger generation. you know, we're a social media generation of kids putting their faces, their voices, their families, everything about their lives online and not thinking twice of what the consequences may be, like people taking it, distorting it and stuff. So I don't want to say it kept me up at night, but.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a fascinating topic because this year in college sports, they started allowing athletes to benefit monetarily from either their name, image, or likeness. So that goes hand in hand with what he was talking about. You know, someday some victim's going to go into the police department and talk about her ex-boyfriend making this video of her that looks exactly like her, and it's a porn, but they didn't record it. It's all computer simulated. It's her image and it's her likeness and it sounds just like her, but it's out there in the internet. What's a police department going to do with that situation? Because that's coming. All right. Then, anything else?
Yeah. My last one, I like Krista's Whitehead's episode, like the way it ended. I think you guys were recording it at night and she was saying that she was drinking at that hour. And I was like, that is like the vibe we're like going for. Just again, two friends kicking it at the bar, getting coffee, whatever, sharing stories. And I'm like, we should encourage all our guests to do that. Grab a drink while you're recording.
Oh, yeah. Well, it is different. You know, sometimes we're doing lunchtime. So that's kind of frowned upon to be drinking at lunchtime, right? This isn't the 80s anymore. All right. Well, good. So as I mentioned in the intro, we wanted to put together a Where Are They Now? So we reached out to our former guests just to get an update on what they've been up to since they've been on the show. And so we got a couple of recordings that people sent us, and then we got some emails that we want to read just to give the audience an update on our past guests. First on the line is Angela Backer-Hines.
Hi, this is Angela Backer-Hines. Since I was on the podcast, I developed and taught a year-long ArcGIS Pro webinar series for the IACA, and I also developed the curriculum and I'm currently teaching the 12-week online crime analysis for small jurisdictions course through the IACA. It's offered 4 times a year, so hope to see some of you in class.
That's excellent. She's obviously done a lot of work with the IACA. When I heard her talk about all that training, it was just good to hear that they're at full force doing all the training again.
Yeah, and they're good quality training. I am actually in the essential skills one right now. Yeah, because I'm, like you mentioned earlier, trying to prep for the certification test again. So wanted to do all I can to prep and prepare. So I can say firsthand that IACA has very quality, affordable training for those who are looking for something. It doesn't need to run you thousands and thousands of dollars. Like, I think IACA courses, they're a little under 400 for members and a little over 400 for non-members, right?
Yes.
So next on the list is Mary Bericelli. Since the interview that she had with us, she has, if people are not updated on IACA news, she had won re-election in August. So she will be our IACA president for the next 3 years. And coming up soon, next week, actually, on December 31st, she'll be hitting her 20 years with Scottsdale Police Department. How time flies.
Yeah, that's a big milestone. So congratulations on 20 years, Mary. And I also say get well soon, because she also wrote to us and said she just had knee surgeries. And then Jeff Vandersip is next on our list. And since he was on the show, he has gotten more involved supporting the cold case unit with investigative genetic genealogy. And he talked about that in his analyst badge story when he was on our show. Him and Michelle Kennedy from Douglas County Sheriff's Department have started a national investigative genetic genealogy group. And so that if that's something you're interested in, you can certainly reach out to Jeff and he can get you set up with that. He's also was honored with receiving the California Crime and Intelligence Analyst Association Analyst of the Year in 2021. So congratulations to Jeff, and he is sunsetting his career and is looking forward to retirement in Tucson, Arizona in the next couple of years. So very good to Jeff. The next one we got a recording from was Christopher Bruce. So let's take a listen to what Christopher has to say.
Hello, everybody. This is Christopher Bruce, former IACA president. When I last checked in with LEA Podcasts, I was teaching criminal justice at Husson University in Bangor, Maine, and missing my involvement in the IACA and the crime analysis field. As we approach the end of 2021, I'm happy to report that while I'm still teaching criminal justice at Husson University, I've found some ways to get back into the profession and community that I love. First, I'm serving as a part-time analyst for the city of Brewer, Maine, which has only about 9,000 residents and 21 officers. However, they're on a regional records management system, and that covers a population of more than 160,000, and none of the communities contributing to it have a crime analyst, so I have a lot of data to analyze. For the first time since 2001, I have been going through the experience of being a new analyst, meeting officers, learning a new geography, getting connected with the records management system. I was enormously lucky in that the county has an unusually helpful and competent IT staff, and they got me set up with a direct ODBC connection almost immediately. I wasn't able to jump right into analysis because the agency's primary problem, like many of your listeners, was getting switched over to NIBRS. I've been spending a lot of time coding reports for officers and noting places where we could improve training and practice. At the same time, though, I'm putting together a portfolio of tactical, strategic, and intelligence products so I can demonstrate to Brewer and other local agencies what's possible with their data. Finally, I'm happy to have accepted a new committee position with the IACA, chair of the Recruitment and Retention Subcommittee of the Membership Committee. I'm really looking forward to working with Vice President of Membership Rachel Carson, International Outreach Director Eurissa Walsh, and other key IACA committees to try to bring our membership to over 5,000 by the end of the next year. Invite me to do another update a year from now, and I'll tell you if we made it.
Yes, very, very good, Christopher. So congratulations on getting back into the field. It's got to be an interesting way of just being a new analyst again. He has such a great history with this profession to go back to school, if you will, and get back into it. Has to be a fascinating adventure for him. So I wish him the best of luck with that new endeavor, both with the police department and with the IACA.
Yeah, I wonder how it is, especially somebody of his caliber, to be, I guess, quote unquote, new again. And I wonder if his agency knows who they just hired. Because I don't know, you know Chris, I know Chris, like people, he's very humble, like despite his, all his, I think everybody whom we talk to and whom I've met personally and talked to and like that have been in the profession for so long, written books, written white papers, 2-3 decades of experience and all that stuff. Like everyone is very humble. Everyone has the same theme of helping others and being a lifelong learner. But I just wonder how it's like to hire somebody at that count and if they know. Like, you know who Chris Bruce is. Like, the rest of us in the analytical world, like, obviously admire him, look up to him and stuff. So wondering if this department, like, do you know who you just got?
Yeah. And I don't know that either, but I sure hope they do, because I'm from my vantage point, they gotta feel extremely fortunate given their size to have somebody like Chris Bruce to analyze the crime.
Yeah. And
so yeah, that is interesting. So yeah, I'm sure Chris will do a bang up job there. So I did want to point out, we talk about name drops on the show, and I encourage guests to always drop names, because we do add them to the show notes. So if listeners hear a name, they can look up the name and get more information about that particular person. And so Christopher is our VIP of name drops. His name has been dropped about a third of the time in all the episodes that we've published. And so about one out of every three episodes, somebody's mentioning Christopher Bruce as someone that has influenced them or has told a story about Christopher or just his contributions. So he was number two on my Mount Rushmore for the IACA last year. You don't got anything to add?
I do, but at the same time, like, we have more guests to go through, and we can talk about Chris probably the entirety of the episode. Yeah. Like, there's so much to add, there's so much to talk about. I'm sure a lot of guests have the same sentiment as well. So
all right, well, let's move on to Elise then. You want to read Elise's update then?
No, I'm just laughing. I'm like, can we keep this part in?
You're out of control.
That's why I only record once a year.
That's right. Late at night, and you've been drinking, haven't you?
Elise is enjoying her retirement, which I think she thoroughly deserves. She's taught FIAT for, I think it's, 16 years of teaching. So I think she has earned a well-deserved retirement, but I know she loves this profession. So hopefully she comes back to teaching again.
Yeah, Elise DeKoschak. I just like saying that last name. But I recommend her episode. She has such a commanding presence and is a great speaker. And her analyst badge story about the forest fires, how she discovered who set the forest fires, is a really good story, and I highly recommend it. We're going to move on to Aaron Wickersham. And Aaron was our one and only video guest, in that we did the episode of Mocking Hot Ones, which is the interview show where they eat hot wings and ask questions. And so that was a lot of fun. And she certainly kicked my butt, certainly didn't faze her at all, eating those hot wings. My other thought with Erin is I didn't realize how short she was. Certainly when at the IACA conference, where I decided to get some pictures with our guests, as I was seeing them and posting it, like, hey, we saw this person. Sometimes it was selfies, and sometimes I would just say, can you take a picture of us? And I didn't realize how short Erin was. And Erin might come up to the middle of my arm. And so when I looked at the picture, I was like, oh my gosh, it looks like I'm with my daughter or something like that. I mean, I totally tower over her, and she looks like a little kid.
For those that do not know what Jason looked like, he is just freakishly tall. Okay, Aaron, you're really listening. You are a normal height. I'm the same height as Aaron. You're just freakishly tall, Jason. All of us are normal height.
Guilty as charged. Oh man.
Next on our list of guests update, I really like this one, is Eric Driftmeyer. He recently earned his master's degree from the School of Criminal Justice at the University of Massachusetts. In addition, he will be retiring soon after 28 years of being in law enforcement, and he is thinking about switching to teaching and consulting. I told you this was one of my favorite updates, not only because it goes with our theme this year, of being a lifelong learner, because I was thinking in my head, I'm like, well, he's not getting his master's for a promotion. He's retiring soon. But yeah, it's never too late. And we were talking about generational differences, and I don't know, it would be cultural, but I know being a millennial, being and the generation that comes after me, like, I feel like everything's in a rush. Like, you gotta get your 4-year degree, you gotta get your master's, you gotta get a house, get married, all this stuff. Like, just everything is just on this strict, tight timeline, and everyone is just so much in a rush trying to, for example, get into the career in their 20s. Like, if they get into the career too late, then it's, for whatever reason, it's too late. It's like, who are you racing against? Who are you competing against? So it's nice to hear that someone who is well established in their career, still getting their degree, still learning. Like, I think it's admirable and inspirational to the next generation.
Yeah, I mean, he is going to be an influencer in whether he does teaching or consulting. So best of luck to you, Eric. Next, we got a recording from Dr. Leanne Perry. So let's get an update from her.
Hello, this is Dr. Leanne Perry. Since I last spoke with you all in May of this year, I accepted a new position at the United States Naval War College as an associate professor of psychology and behavioral science in their College of Leadership and Ethics. It's been a great transition to a really interesting new opportunity in my career. I'm getting to teach and do research on areas related to leader development for our military leaders. And I'm also getting the opportunity to do some really incredible outreach with the community. I'm very grateful for the opportunity. I know it's quite a pivot from my previous experience in law enforcement doing research analysis on violent crime, but I'm finding this to be a really refreshing new start in my career, a next chapter, if you will. I hope you're all doing well.
Excellent. So yeah, I highly recommend her episode. It was a fascinating take on applying research to the police strategy of behind capturing violent offenders. So very, very interesting stuff there. And I'm sure taking that new position with the Naval Academy is going to be a great position for her, and that they're lucky to have her.
I always thought her episode was a good bridge for students and people who don't really know about the law enforcement analysis profession outside of what's shown on TV, which is not a lot. I think when we were talking about her episode, like, Criminal Minds came to mind. I was like, oh my God, this is like Criminal Minds, but like in real life. So when students ask about, or mentees ask about, different professions and, you know, what they've seen on TV, I'm like, listen to this episode, because then I feel like this is where your mind is, and then actually listen to the reality of it, like how it actually differs, how it's similar, you know, because obviously it's TV, it's fiction, there's gotta be some stuff that are made up, but I assume they do some sort of research and bring on some consultants to actually share how reality is. But yeah, I always like sharing that episode as kind of like a gap between TV and reality. And I think Dr. Perry does a good job of demystifying or like dispelling any misconception, like what's shown on TV is not really what's really in real life. So that was a fun episode to listen to.
Yes. And Sam Gwynn. So Sam left LexisNexis in September, and she started up her own consulting company, Golden Research and Consulting, LLC. And she's just getting that up and running. You're going to be working on various criminal justice projects. Good for you going out on your own, Sam. When I found out that you were leaving LexisNexis, I actually hoped she was going to go to a police department. I find that there's too many that have gone out, left the police department, either for the private sector or for consulting, that it would be nice to have some people go back, like Christopher did, for instance, and go back to a police department and get these people with great experience that are great analysts and really make them shine. Totally get it. You can certainly do that as a consultant. Kudos to you, Sam. Congratulations.
Next is Sean Bear. And thank you, Jason, for giving me the hardest, longest update to read.
Yeah, it's real tough.
Same old, dude. That's period.
That's Sean's update. But I will say this, there is an update to his relationship app, and it is used to be Zuhu, and now it is Nouri, N-O-U-R-I. Still doing the same thing, nurturing your relationships in an app. And so highly recommend that you use that app. And it's not surprising that Sean has continued success. Let's see here. Moving on to David Jimenez. You know, he says not too much has changed. He is currently assuming the presidency for the Lone Star chapter for Hialeah, and he's still doing teaching with Michigan State and Penn State. But other than that, not too much is new with him. He did give a great happy anniversary message to Hialeah. That's one thing I forgot to mention when I talked about the 40th anniversary episode. We did collect some happy anniversary wishes from the members, and it turned out really well. And so, Lori Frank. Lori sent us an update. Let's hear what she has to say.
Hi, this is Lori Frank. Thanks again for having me on the LEA podcast. I really enjoyed that session. And afterwards, I had multiple people reach out and thank me for bringing up what is sometimes considered a difficult topic. And I was really hoping to encourage people to recognize that there is some discrimination that does occur, for sure, in law enforcement and ways that you can deal with that. I certainly did not mind being tagged as the quote-unquote assertive analyst. Again, thanks so much for having me on. And since that time, I'm still working with Corona Solutions as the Director of Research and Analysis. I put together a presentation called Leveraging Data in Patrol Staffing Analysis and did a presentation, a virtual presentation, to IALEP, the International Association of Law Enforcement Planners, and an in-person presentation at the IACA conference in Las Vegas. It was very well received, and I'm hoping to present again on that topic in the near future. I've also written several blog posts for our website at coronasolutions.com related to alleviating staffing pain points through rebalancing workloads as everybody deals with unprecedented amounts of attrition within their law enforcement agencies. Everybody is suffering right now from lack of staffing and staffing woes, and that's what we're here to do, is to find ways to alleviate that and help rebalance those workloads. So again, thanks for having me on LEA Podcasts. I really enjoyed it, and I'd encourage anybody who wants to or would like to reach out and discuss any of those topics further, please do so. You can reach me at Lori.Frank, and that's Lori.Frank, at coronasolutions.com. Thanks so much.
Excellent update, Lori. Thank you again for being so brave to talk about your situation and to talk about you being the assertive analyst. I know, Mindy, we had conversations about whether that should be the appropriate nickname for her.
Yeah, I think we were nervous, but I think when we listened to her episode and that feeling of just taking what was supposed to be a negative word and turning it into a positive, like owning it and making it your own, I think that was very inspirational, very admirable. And what she said at the beginning, I mean, I was one of the people who reached out to her and thanked her, not only on behalf of the podcast and being our guest, but for what she said, because that was very impactful for me, especially being young female minority in a predominantly male profession. So episode was very inspirational. And I every time I see her at the conference, or she's here locally in Colorado with me, so whenever I do get a chance to see her, I always thank her again and remind her how impactful the episode is. And I whenever people ask me, yeah, we did this last time when we were talking about our favorite episodes, and I know that I listed her episode as one of mine. So yeah, it's nice to know that she's still doing well and still teaching and improving.
All right. And you want to talk about Stephen?
Yes, he's been doing a lot. He wrote an article about whether data is important to learning and development, and we can definitely link that in our show notes for this episode. And he also testified in a court case, and the defendant was found guilty of first-degree premeditated murder. Steve had close to 300 hours of analysis into 10 years of bank records. And that just blows my mind, the amount of hours that was put in and how much data he went through. And again, I don't know how often it is talked about, like just the amount of hours that goes into these investigations that we assist on. Like, it's not just a one and done thing. This consumes months of our lives and stuff. And again, we have a link to the article for those who are interested in the show notes.
Yeah. And if that isn't fascinating enough, the title to the article is Cheney Man Found Guilty of Killing Wife with Poisoned Ice Cream. So feel free to click on that and read more about Stephen's effort in that case. Good for you, Stephen. So then Brittany Willis. Brittany has done some presentations since her time on the podcast. She certainly has done a lot with the conference committee and the mentoring committee with IACA. So she is in line to take over for Albert running the conference committee whenever Albert decides to step aside. So she is plenty busy.
Yeah, Brittany does so much for the association. Like, I don't know how she does it.
Yes.
Then next is Allison Sullivan, still doing great. No big updates, but she did give us a suggestion for guests soon, which I know that we talked about as being a goal for 2022, is to get Richie on our show.
So Rich Tavary, he is the big white whale there. So I do want to get him on the show. He's, when I first started thinking about the guests I wanted to have on the podcast, he is top of my list. He's still on my whiteboard, trying to get him on. He's been doing analysis for a really long time, and he has great perspective. And so I think that's got to be one of the goals that I got to get him on. And then our final recording is from Richie Martinez. Richie, what have you been up to since you were on the show?
Yes, this is Richie Martinez, former president for IALEA. Just as an update, just I'm continuing to enjoy my full-time retirement, working full-time, but also still working for the National Center for Biomedical Research and Training with LSU. We are now fully engaged in our Zoom training, the 20-hour Fundamentals of Criminal Intelligence. Currently, the newer version, that would be the third revision of the course, is in progress, and probably have a walkthrough on that this coming February in 2022. So we're reaching out to a lot of communities. There's a lot of training opportunities still with this training for LSU and CBRT. We've got it on the calendar for some minimum training status for beginning training for the analyst roadmap. So check it out and hope you enjoy it. Meanwhile, best to IALEA and its leaders, and I guess in their endeavor to pursue getting their executive director on board. Thank you.
All right. Very good. I find it fascinating that he said he was enjoying retirement and then talked about all the work that he does. I thought when you were retired that you didn't do all that much work.
When they say they're passionate, I feel like that is an understatement. People love this profession. They go into it and they do well, and they pass on the knowledge. Like we were saying earlier, like people continue their education. They go into teaching, they go into consulting, like they don't stop. And like you're saying, even into retirement, they keep doing more. And I think that's probably the definition of being passionate about something, like finding your passion, finding your purpose.
Yes. And I didn't duplicate the effort from last year, and I didn't create a Mount Rushmore for IALEA, but I think Richie probably would have been on there had I done it. Very influential to IALEA. And he mentioned the executive director that's something that the association has been trying to do for a while. It is a paid position, a part-time paid position, to take over some of the day-to-day operations of the association. So it's, they're not the first association to do it, but it's certainly interesting to see them go from the church model, like Richie would say, to a business model, to actually hiring employees and having a part-time permanent position there. All right. Actually, I'm going to flip the script a little bit on you, Mindy. Will you read Marilyn? Because I want to do Noah's.
Yeah, of course. So next is Marilyn Peterson, our lifelong learner episode, which again was one of my favorites. And she is another example of the message we mentioned earlier about passion and passing on to the next generation, because she has been in the profession for over 40 years and she is retired, but even in her retirement, she is continuing to teach and make the profession better. And not only does she teach, but she also continues to learn. And I think she is a great role model for all of us.
As she mentioned in the episode, she's back on the executive board for ILEA. Last but not certainly not least is Noah Fritz. And Noah didn't send us one per se, but we got a chance to catch up at the ILEA conference in Vegas in August. And he made point to mention to me that because of his episode, he was at a crossroads at the time and wasn't really sure what he was going to do. But telling his story on our podcast influenced him to get back in the game. And he was reminiscing and reflecting, and he still thinks he has more to give to this profession. So he is now the Director of Data Analytics and Strategic Initiatives for Fairfax County in Virginia. So that is an executive role. He'll have plenty of influence there. So congratulations, Noah. Thank you for the kind words, and I wish you the best of luck. So that's all for our Where Are They Now updates. And we wanted to finish this episode with a look ahead at 2022. And one of the things that we are developing and going to launch in 2022 is a series of educational shows on our YouTube channel called Small Steps. And these are going to go over in short segments, 3 to 5 minute videos, showing you tips and tricks on how to make your lives easier as analysts. Seth Potts is going to be producing most of the episodes. And I know he has a series of Excel tips and tricks that he's going to show you very soon. So be on the lookout for that, for Small Steps coming in 2022. We're also looking to update our website. And that's something that's been on my to-do list as we have continued our partnership with the ACIA. And Paige has done a great job of giving us the perspective from the UK as she has expanded from one episode a month to two, and certainly has done an awesome job with her podcast. And with her help, we were also able to add another podcast, Emmanuel. He's given the Ugandan perspective of analysis. He just started a couple months back. It's not an interview show. It's just his perspective, his monologue, but it's a fascinating perspective of what he's able to bring, covering some interesting topics. So what we want to update the website to showcase each one of our podcasts. We are also going to publish Debbie Osborne's Analyst Corner podcasts, and we had them up, but they expired. And so what we are going to do now is we are going to publish them, but we're also going to give a current take on the episode. So be looking out for them. And I think we're going to publish them every Wednesday until we have the 18 or 19 published. Also, we are going to have our 100th episode. That should come up in April. And if you have any suggestions on who you think should be the guest of our 100th episode, please email us at leapodcast@gmail.com. And I think, Mindy, you should give the next update for 2022. We set out a goal in 2021, and it's your home state that it deals with. So I think you should be the one to make the announcement.
Yes. So one of the goals we had for 2021 was we wanted to interview analysts outside of Colorado. It wasn't purposeful. It just happened to work out that way, that a lot of our guests in 2020 happened to be in Colorado. So in 2021, we expanded to the rest of the country. And I don't think interviewed any analysts in Colorado almost purposely, just like, nope, we got to extend it to other states. And we sure did. We reached as many states as we possibly could. And we still have an ongoing goal of at least one guest from each state. So we will continue that goal through 2022.
For this year, I thought we were going to have a band on Arizona, because we did plenty of Arizona folks this year. So Colorado, you are now off the no-no list. And so we'll look forward to talking to you in 2022. Another thing we're looking into doing is a new intro and outro. That's something that Mindy and I are probably going to record right after this episode, just to freshen up the podcast and try to give it a little bit of a new feel.
Yeah, so taking inspiration from Krista's episode, instead of coffee with an analyst, it'd be whiskey on the rocks with an analyst. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Maybe. Yeah. But we do want to keep some things consistent, just like our segments, like Analyst Bash Story, Worst of the World, Don't Be That Analyst. So those things we will keep. And another thing we will keep is Jason's catchphrases, which I don't think we've ever went over. Where'd you get it from? Like, hope your days are progressing and you gave me enough to talk bad about you later. Or like, where did those come from?
It's, let's see here. I hope many aspects of your life are progressing. I mean, basically, I just didn't want to hope that people's lives were perfect. So I just wanted to say, you know, not all aspects of your life are progressing, just many of them. So it was just my way of hoping that everything's going right in your life. And so that was something that I came up. I'm a runner. And I was running the one day and I was trying to think of, like, what do I want to introduce the show with? How do I want to tell folks that however you're listening to this episode, I hope your life is going well and things are moving forward. And you've given me just enough to talk bad about you later. I don't really know exactly where that came from. I did want to end the show with something really snarky for some reason. And that's what I came up with again while jogging. I guess I, in a way, I am proud of it. This year, I was talking to my wife about it. And I said, hey, I'm thinking about making a t-shirt about it. And she goes, well, you know, it's supposed to be badly, not bad. That totally took the wind out of my sail. I was like, oh, it's grammatically incorrect. But maybe we'll still make it. I certainly haven't changed it. So that was just my way of being snarky there at the end. That it says, hey, we can talk bad about you once you left the room. And so I always purposely do a pause after saying that just to get the reaction of the guest, which is always fantastic.
I feel like at this point, people realize it's a catchphrase, that it's something you say to end the show. But I always wonder how our first five guests felt after you said that, because again, we were brand new. They didn't know what they were signing up for. So everything's recorded. It was all public. So
some people, I think are a little bit shocked and don't know how to take that. Like, oh, I didn't think about it that way. So. All right. Well, very good. Well, that's our show. Thank you all for joining us every Monday this year. And as we continue to have guests every Monday in 2022, if you're interested in being on the show, or you have a suggestion for a topic of the show, or you have somebody in mind for the show, please reach out to us. We are available on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, And you can always email us at leapodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. Mindy, you got anything else?
Just want to reiterate the same message. I'm so thankful for all of the support that we've gotten. We've mentioned this in our episodes previously as well, that at the beginning, we weren't sure where this was going, and I never imagined we'd be almost 2 years now. So I am so happy to where we're at. I am so surprised, and I wouldn't have it any other way. So thank you, everybody, for your support.
We've given you just enough to talk bad about us later.
Badly.
Yes, I really appreciate you being with us. Thank you so much, and you be safe.
Thank you for joining us today on Analyst Talk with Jason Alder. We hope you not only enjoyed the show, but also learned something new. For more information on our guests and information relating to today's topic, please visit our website at leapodcast.com. Special thanks to The Rough and Tumble for our theme song. For more of their music, you can visit their website at theroughandtumble.com. Also, thanks to Kyle McMullen for our show logo. For more of his design, please visit his website at moderntype.com. The show is hosted, recorded, and edited by Jason Alder and written by me, Mindy. You can contact us both via the LEA Podcast website. Please join us again next time as we interview another expert in this great field.